introducing the book of James. I love the book of James, just like Pastor said. When I was working with the teens, it was one of the last books that we worked through, and just loved the practical nature of it. One of the authors that I used at that time to be able to study it called it the Proverbs of the New Testament. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. That it is very practical knowledge on how to navigate life here. And so we're in the middle of this section where we're talking about trials. And we all experience them, or you have experienced them. As Homer said, these aren't just major trials that come by that are earth-shattering. We come up with crisis and dilemmas and decisions we need to make on a regular basis. And James is trying to help give us some insight on how we can be able to approach those trials. And in verse 4, it says that the Lord does not want us to be lacking anything. And one of those things is wisdom. And we're going to talk about that in the next section here as we jump into the next paragraph in James. And starting in verse 5, let's read it. It says, "And if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it is given to them. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways." The big idea for this section that I am preaching tonight is we can skillfully navigate life in the midst of trials as long as we ask for help by faith. So, how do we do that? We start off, we see in verse 5 where it says, if we face trials of many kinds. That word if there is a funny one to me because we've all faced trials, right? So why put if? Why not put when? Why didn't James say, hey, the trial is coming, so when you face it, be ready to ask for wisdom. But he puts if there because I think sometimes some of us walk through life with so much pride that we don't even realize that we need help. That we try to negotiate this life on our own skill, on our own abilities. And he's saying, if you see this trial that you need help with, and that's by the Lord's grace and our humility, that we can recognize that a trial is there. And when we see that difficult circumstance, and when we see those things coming at us, what does he call us to do? He calls us to ask for wisdom. Why do we need to ask for wisdom? Why do we need to ask for what to do next? Sometimes the trial is so thick, we don't even know, we can't even think clearly. We can't see past this one instance in front of our eyes. It's dark. We got blinders on. We've lost perspective. And so we need help to ask, what's the next step to take? What do we need to do? What is the best thing for us to do? Well, what is wisdom? The Lord says, ask for wisdom. What is it? It's taking truth, knowledge, and principles and putting them into appropriate practice. So it's not just knowledge, it's not just experience, but it's taking that experience and that knowledge and being able to apply it practically and in appropriate when needed to. Or, as I like to sum it up, to skillfully navigate life. As we're navigating the waters of life, as storms rage or in calm waters, wherever we're heading, we need to be able to do that skillfully and appropriately, and that is wisdom. And what do we need to do in order to get that? And the Lord says to ask. Now, if you're like me, when I first read that, I'm thinking, ask. I've asked for wisdom before, and it didn't seem like it came. Well, there's a few reasons for that, and we want to dig into those here. The first thing I want to mention is this word ask. What does it mean to ask? Or does it matter how we ask? If you look at the Greek word here, one of the definitions is to beg. I think this is more than just a simple one-time blanket request that we request at the beginning of a trial, and then we think it covers us. I think this is more of a continual conversation. This is more of, I'm taking one step, and I'm going to ask again. I'm going to take another step, and I'm going to ask again. And it's a constant conversation. The other day, we were talking with camp starting up, and Bethany mentioned this again. She's mentioned this several times. She said she never knew what it meant to pray without ceasing until she became a counselor. And she faced the trials of those kids on a moment-by-moment, day-by-day basis. And she was constantly in prayer. How many of us that defines our lives? Too many times I have been guilty of asking and expecting the Lord to answer that later on, even though there's a disconnect between what I've asked and what is going on there. And what will happen when we ask this? What will happen is He will give generously, without fault. He's not going to judge us. He's not going to say, listen, I've told you this 17 times. You should have it by now. He's going to say, listen, this is what you should do. He is going to give us the wisdom that we need. The question we need to ask ourselves is, how is he going to give that wisdom? Is it going to be some mystical feeling? Is it going to be a new revelation? Maybe lightning bolts, a big sign or something? No. How does he give us wisdom on a normal everyday basis? Well, the first way is through his word. As we read scripture and we're asking the Lord to grant us wisdom for this specific trial that we're going through, this specific decision that we need to make, he is going to show us principles in his word that we can apply in order to act appropriately, to act with wisdom. But that begs the question, are you in the word? See, we can't benefit from the asking for wisdom unless we're in the word. Another way he answers it, through his people. It's amazing to me that oftentimes when people go through the toughest trials, they want to separate themselves from the people of God. But those are the very people that God has placed around us in order to speak truth in our lives when we are unclear about what truth is. And we need to be surrounded by people who are going to speak truth to us in a loving way and help us to see rightly what we should do in the midst of that trial. So the question is, are you around them? And all of this is happening in the background through the work of the Spirit. The work of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is working in our hearts, taking the truth that is spoken by the people, the truth that we read in Scriptures, and he's taking that and shaping us and molding us to be able to do that. Are we walking in step with the Spirit? So when we ask, do we ask appropriately, with humility, coming before him, and a moment-by-moment, step-by-step basis, and looking for answers in the right place? Well, the scripture says here in the next verse that we have another thing that we need to be able to do when we ask. We need to ask by faith. What is faith? Hebrews 1:1 is confidence and assurance. I love Pastor's definition, and this is my own paraphrase, but trusting and acting in the promises of God, regardless of how I feel. That is faith. We need to be able to ask and then trust the Lord that he is going to grant what we have asked him for. He is going to follow through with his promise. We need to do this without doubting. That would be the opposite of faith. Doubting means to waver, to hesitate. James likens it to waves. I love going to the ocean. We're getting ready to go to the beach here in about a month. And all of a sudden, you stand out there and you see these waves rolling in, but you realize they have no control over where they go, right? They're dependent on wind and what the surface is underneath and all kinds of different things that they're going to be tossed around however they're going to be pleased. They're not anchored in. And then you see a buoy out there and it's standing still because it's anchored into something. When we doubt, we're like waves. We're just tossed from one idea to the next. And this one might seem good. And then we'll go to this one and it might seem good for a little while. And we're bouncing around and we're never anchored in to the truth. So the question is, why do we doubt? We had some sort of belief in the beginning because we asked, right? Maybe that belief was just that we thought we were supposed to do something, and so just by our acting, something would happen. And so we don't really believe that God is going to answer his or keep his promises. So maybe we still don't fully trust him. Or maybe we don't want to hear the wisdom that he gives us. I think that's another thing. Maybe we ask for wisdom and he gives it to us and we're like, no, 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 God, you got this one wrong. This is the way I wanted to act and you're telling me to go this way. And he's saying, trust me. Maybe he only gives you a little glimpse of what the next step is instead of the whole map. And because you don't know the destination, you're afraid to take that step. So we doubt. Or maybe we simply lose patience. And I think this is a big one. In my reading this week in my devotional on my app, James McDonald wrote this about answering to prayer. It says, but if I'm praying according to God's will and trusting my future in God's hands, he has a third option, wait. The only thing between you and this delayed yes is time. How often do we forfeit our delayed yes through doubt? God has made promises about a lot of stuff, and he retains the sovereign choice of timing. So we pray unceasingly and wait patiently. That is so true, at least in my life, that I ask, but then I get tired of waiting, and I assume that the answer is not coming. And so I go look for something else. And I forfeit my chance to be able to hear from God in that opportunity. Sometimes that answer is, stay strong, weather the storm, and in my timing, I will let you know your next step. I have something in mind. I have a timing in mind. I have a plan in mind. We need to ask by faith. Then he wraps up this section here that that we should not be expecting or supposing the beck and call. And this goes back to that humility. The Lord is not a cosmic vending machine that we only use when we want something. Faith and trust happen within a relationship, a constant walk with our Lord. It's a very prideful thing to not be walking with the Lord and then all of a sudden come up and say, Lord, you're supposed to give me wisdom in this circumstance because I've run out of my other options. And in his generosity and in his grace, he may grant you that wisdom there. But this is something that comes as a constant humbling before the Lord as we walk with him, asking moment by moment what we should do. What is the wisdom that we need? And he grants it to us through our word that we are constantly in, through the people around us as we walk with them. So how do we apply this? First of all, do you need wisdom? Do you even recognize some of the struggles around you? I think sometimes in my life I get into autopilot. I just bounce from activity to activity and I never stop and pause to think, Lord, what do you want me to do in this circumstance? Lord, do you want me to add this to my calendar? Lord, I got this free space. That doesn't happen very often. But I got this free space. What do you want me to do with it? Do you need wisdom? Are you asking? Don't be like the man who refuses to stop and ask for directions because of his pride. We've all seen that guy, right? And then he buys a GPS and hears a woman talking to him. And that frustrates him even more. But don't be like that guy. Stop and ask the Lord for wisdom. Stop and realize that he wants to be able to guide your steps. And then listen. Listen in the right places. Listen in the truth of God's word. Listen when talking to the people of God that he has surrounded you with. And then trust in his sovereign plan. Walk faithfully in his sovereign plan, even when it's tough, even when it's difficult. And when we can do that, it is possible. We can walk skillfully, negotiating this life in the midst of a trial, as long as we ask him for wisdom by faith. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much that you are a generous, gracious, loving God. And yes, trials will come, and they are there to strengthen us, just as a weightlifter does more in order to build up stamina, to build up strength, just as someone who is challenging themselves intellectually will do exercises that will hurt into their mind and to be able to stretch their mind. You will put us through trials in order to build our faith, to prepare us for the ministry that you will place before us, Lord. But Lord, you didn't leave us hanging out there to dry. You have given us an avenue of being able to ask for wisdom. And you will be gracious in giving that wisdom to us. But Lord, help us to walk closely to you. Help us to cling to the truth and help us to constantly be looking for that wisdom in the right place and then trusting in your timing in the midst of that trial to be able to act upon that wisdom appropriately. And Lord, help us to do this for your honor and glory. In your name I pray. Amen.